Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 18, Wilderness Living Now.
Well, another thing God told me to do back before it was a law is He impressed me that He really wanted to He wanted me to depend on His assurances in the Bible and not on insurance. And God had me do some things that most people think are nutty, but I got to see miracles over time. He told me to get rid of my insurance. He kind of left it up to me, but I wanted to go there, and I knew what He desired. And so I took those steps. I called in all my insurance people, and I canceled all my insurance. Wasn't law at that time. Even now, I still only have what is legal, which really don't cover you. It kind of covers the other guy, you know. And by the way, I have made lots of money in this way because God has honored me every time. I have made money. I have never lost money doing this. My house was bought in this way because every time I got in an accident, I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to sue anybody. It was like I was plundering Egypt. Remember how when they came out of Egypt to go into the wilderness, they were plundering Egypt? Well, that's what the Lord brought to my mind. He was plundering Egypt. Well, when I got rid of my car insurance the next week, I was driving my little station wagon, a little tin Japanese station wagon, and I drove it into a stop-and-go mart. It was one of the quickie corner marts. And I walked inside, and I was walking up and down the aisles, picking up a few things. And I hear this boom, you know, and I look over the top of the aisle, and a guy had just wheeled in the parking lot and slammed right into the corner of my car 1 week after I dropped all my insurance. Slammed right into the car. And it literally, I saw the windows, the glass windows across the front of the store shake and dust come down off the ceiling. So I walked on down the aisle and walked on out there. And there's this guy, he had backed up about that far, and he was standing there looking at my car, and his mouth was hanging open. And the closer I got, the more my mouth hung open. And I walked over there, and my Datsun station wagon had notched the front of his big old Buick. It was one of those old Buicks, all steel, no plastic, nowhere. It had notched the front of his car in about that much. The hood, the grill, the bumper, everything. He hit me right on the corner of the back of the box on the Datsun station wagon, right on the plastic tail ends. This is God's truth, okay? The guy, he was just sitting there looking at this thing, shaking his head, you know, and I got to looking, and I said, oh, man. I walked over to it and took my thumbnail, and on the plastic tail ends, there was some of the paint off of his hood on the plastic tail ends. And I scraped it off with my fingernail like that, and I stood back. I mean, it just identified where he middled it. Boom. And after I scraped that off, you could look at that station wagon, and there wasn't a scratch on my station wagon anywhere.
not a scratch. And I was awed. You know, God made my piece of tin box invincible to this old tank. God can do that with anybody. You know that? Make invincible. This car was invincible to this old tank. And the guy said, I'm sorry. He says, I think my brakes went out. I don't really believe, but that's what he said anyway. He says, and then he mumbled one more thing before he got back in his car and left. And that was, hey, man, they sure make them a lot better than they used to. I said, duh. The guy got in his car, and I was still standing there looking at this, you know, and I said, oh, man, I missed the best chance I'll ever have to witness to anybody. And I jumped in the car, and I took off, and I caught the guy at the red light. He was stopped at the red light. And I reached in the glove box, and I grabbed a bunch of tracks out of the glove box, and I jumped out of my car, and I was going to try to catch him before it turned green, you know. Pulled up alongside. Actually, the guy was chewing tobacco. And I came up suddenly beside him, and he was spitting out of his window, and he kind of dropped his chin down. Actually, spit on the side of his car. Literally, this is what happened. And I said, mister, I said, that was a miracle. He said, it has to be. I said, I was trusting God to keep that car. You see, I didn't have any insurance on that car. It was God that did that. I put these tracks in his hand, and the light turned, and he took off, and I got my car and left, you know. God didn't always protect my vehicles in that way, but when he didn't, I was glad he didn't. You know, my wife and daughter got in a wreck one time that brought us about. I mean, this was one of those times where I actually had believed God. I said, God, I'm asking you, you've told me that you want to move me to Pensacola. We know this is the time. We're seeing the signs being involved around us. I'm asking you to give me a house and give me a car in Pensacola. I want you to give it to me. You know, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I believe God will give you everything you need to do His will. Everything. And I believe God does miracles to make sure that all that comes to pass. But I said, I want you to give this to me. A week later, again, I didn't have any insurance. A week later, my wife was driving down Florida Boulevard. Isn't that interesting? We're moving to Florida, and this is Florida Boulevard. And she's driving down Florida Boulevard, and it was at Christmas time. And she was coming to a stop behind a Cadillac, and she was in a Toyota Corolla. And there was another guy coming up behind her in a big Lincoln, two big cars and a little car in the middle. And he was looking at the lights, you know, and wasn't paying attention. And he scooped up my wife and slammed her into the car in front, just smushed my little car, you know, totally squashed it. And, well, there were some peculiar things happened here, but I saw the hand of the Lord. Number one, my wife said, there was some crazy lady that came up beside the car and said, oh, honey, don't worry. This guy's got some good insurance, you know. Well, they couldn't even get her out of the car. They had to, you know, get the jaws of life and cut the car open and pry her out, her and my daughter, you know. And my daughter had been damaged in her intestine, which later God healed, and my wife had broken her foot. Okay. Well, my wife wasn't always as strong as I was, but she had been a very strong lady, and she'd always gone with me and seen many miracles. But this time, for some reason, and I always gave in to her when I felt this, you know, she said, David, I know what you're going to say, but I want you to let us go to the hospital. I says, okay, no problem. If you want to, you go. You know? Well, so I let him go. Come to find out, the guy that hit him from behind was the owner of a very large warehouse corporation. It was self-insured. He had something like 100, 300, and 100 insurance on a car, which at that time I'd never heard of people doing that, but that's what he had. And he was a very Christian-like man. He wasn't Christian, I don't think, but he was very Christian-like, you know, and he was very grievous about what he did. It was his fault, and he said he'd do just anything to help us, you know. And well, we said, we don't want anything. We know it was the hand of God, and we're not worried about it, you know. Just don't worry about it. Relax, you know. He said, oh, I'd like to do something. I'll do anything, you know. He said, look, I want to talk to my insurance company. I said, well, you do what you want to do. Okay, we're not involved in that. Well, you know what? God is awesome because I think we ended up with something like, by the time we had to move, all the money was there for us to buy the house and buy the car. And actually, I had agreed in faith, the prayer of agreement, 1 week before my wife got in the wreck, that God would give us the money to pay for the house and pay for the car. I'm making a long story short, but the whole story is just awesome, but I don't have time to tell it. At the same time, I had been telling people for 6 years that I was going to retire from Exxon. Of course, it didn't mean much. It meant a severance pay is what it ended up being. But I'd been telling this for years because of a dream that we'd have. And the dream actually came true because the guy that had the dream, we hadn't seen in years, and suddenly he showed up in his vision and he said, David, I came next door and I looked over there and you had a U-Haul backed up to your door and I walked over to talk to you and you said, I'm moving to Pensacola and I'm never going to work for men again. And you showed me, this is a little guy, a little simple-minded fellow, you know, and he said, you showed me some papers with a P on them. I don't remember what the P meant, but I said, pension? He says, yeah, that's it, pension. I said, oh, neat, you know. Well, 6 years later, I've been telling people, I knew it was from the Lord. And about 6 years later, I hadn't seen him in years. He showed up. The neighbor says, look over there. He looked over there, and there was a U-Haul backed up to our house. He came over there, and I had gotten the pension. Of course, it was a severance pension, you know. I don't get anything until I'm retirement age, you know, and which hadn't happened, and I don't know if we'll ever make it there. But at any rate, the money from this came in, and the money from the wreck came in at the same time. We moved to Pensacola and bought the house that the Lord showed us. Got an awesome deal on it. The Lord paid for it, exactly what we agreed for. We agreed that God was going to buy me a house and buy me a car. He made me give my house away first, which we did. And I asked the Lord to give my wife a sign so she wouldn't be nervous about us giving her house away. And he gave her the sign. And later, before the second part of the settlement came in, he made me give my car away before I got that money. So we gave our car away. Listen, you want to free up whatever's bound up in the kingdom, you don't need it until you need it. Put yourself in a position of need, you'll see the answer come. Many people don't want to do that, you see. Well, Lord, you want me to give my car away? I don't have another one, you know. Well, you know what? When God impresses you to act on your faith, then act on it. He will make sure everything else, He will move heaven and earth to make sure that you get your answer. Because God doesn't ever want to be seen as a failure, and you know He can't fail, right? Well, I had so many things the Lord taught me, just little simple things. Like, I was driving my car one day, and I had a blowout. And I was a little frustrated because I'd had 3 blowouts on this car. They were new tires. And I said to God, I said, after I'd gotten a fix, I was driving down the road, I said, God, can't you keep my tires? I never had blowouts. And the Lord said to me, don't you believe I can keep your tires? I said, yes, I believe you can keep my tires. He said, well, then why do you keep putting that spare back there? I said, well, I guess because I wasn't quite sure you would keep my tires. So I quit putting that spare back there and never had another flat. And the neighbors that used to borrow my car wouldn't borrow it anymore. And did the same thing on the next car. I never put a spare in there. Never had a flat. One day the Lord impressed me on the next car, which was a big station wagon, the next car. He impressed me. He wanted me to give that car to a mission. So I called the pastor up. I had ministered in this mission quite a bit. I called him up and invited him over to get the keys and the title. And we were talking about it in the living room, and I put the keys in his hand, and he walked out of the living room. We both walked out onto the front porch for him to get in his car and drive off. And I was surprised, and he was surprised too. We walked out there, and the car was on a flat. Can you imagine? I'd given him the title and him the keys, and now it gets flat. The whole time I had the car, it never had a flat. I thought, this is a miracle, you know. The guy looked at me and said, yeah, this is a miracle. God is awesome. He just wanted to prove himself to me. This guy wasn't walking by faith. I was. You understand? He wasn't necessarily going to provide his needs. I mean, but he wanted me to give him this car, so I did. You know what? Every time I put myself in a position of weakness, I saw miracles. When you insulate yourself with insurances from the world, it's because you fear that God will not do what he promised. Psalm 91, the angels won't allow you to dash your foot against a stone. What is that, an accident, right? You mean they're able to keep you from accidents unless they profit you? I mean, I've been profited in some accidents. I lost a truck one time like that, saw a miracle, ended up with $1,600 in my pocket, and my truck painted, which I needed to paint it anyway. Didn't have any insurance on the truck. I mean, literally, I was going down to work one day. I got on the bridge going to work, and there was a car stopped in the bridge. The guy in front of me was stopping. I was stopping. The fourth guy back didn't stop. I mean, he hit us full speed. Boom, 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 right on down the line, you know. The guy in front of me had slammed his chest into the steering wheel, and just blood was just pouring out of his face. And I crawled up in there and pulled him out, laid him on the curb, put his head on the curb, and knelt down there to pray over him. And I was praying over him. There were people mulling around, you know, and just this jelly blood was just piling up underneath his head. There was a pile of blood under his head like that, you know. And I was praying over him and commanded him to be healed in the name of Jesus. By the time I got through praying, they scooped him up, put him in the ambulance, and took off, you know, and I got through with the officers and everything, and I went home. Well, when I got him out of the car, I had this blood on my arms, you know. Of course, I was on my way to work, and at work, I would tell people about faith. You know, I'd preach faith to people, and there was this one Baptist guy that I'd preached faith to, and I thought maybe the Lord's getting through to him just a little bit, you know. He passed by me and he saw me there with this blood all over my arms. He said, "Oh, David, you better go to the hospital." I said, "There's nothing wrong with me." He said, "You better go to the hospital." I said, "There's nothing wrong with me." He said, "You better go to the hospital." He thought I was preaching faith. So I went home, I called the hospital, and I asked him about the guy that I'd prayed over. The hospital said, I mean, this guy was just zonked the whole time until they picked him up and put him in the ambulance. Yeah. And the hospital said, "Oh, we turned him loose." I said, "You turned him loose?" "Yeah, we didn't find anything wrong with him." "Oh," I said, "lady, you should have seen the pile of blood out there on the highway." I says, "Well, we couldn't find anything wrong with him. We sent him home." I said, "Well, that's fine, you know." So I went on to work, and at the time I was working in this 7-acre mechanical building. It had every kind of mechanical piece of equipment to fix anything you could think of. It was the biggest complete machine shop in the world. It was at Exxon Refinery. And I walked in this big double, you know, truck door. And when I walked in the door, I noticed everybody was looking at me. I mean, everybody. They were looking over there at me. You know, like, eh, you know. And my supervisor came walking across the floor, you know. And he was looking at me, you know. I said, "That guy must have got here ahead of me. You know, they thought I was dying or something, you know." And my supervisor came up and I said, "I told him that there was nothing wrong with me and there's nothing wrong with me, you know." He said, "Okay, you know." So I got a kick out of that. But you know what? If you plan for a rainy day will come. People say, "Oh, I'm so glad I had that insurance. I got in this wreck." No, you got in that wreck because you had the insurance. Our thinking is backwards. We have to start thinking the way God thinks. See, every time I've gotten rid of insurance, God has saved me from wrecks or made me prosper in the wreck or totally made me invincible to the wreck. Every time. I've made money. I lost track, but I think it was something like $160,000 or maybe $170,000. And that time, my truck was totaled out. And I got my truck fixed. I had $1,500 left in my pocket after I got my truck fixed, just the way I like it, nice and pretty, you know. And saw a miracle doing it. And that's the way God's been. The problem is we want to insulate ourselves from any possibility of lack or harm in the world, and it's not faith in God. If we believed that God would supply our every need according to His riches and glory, if we really believed that God, all we have to do is ask and believe, then we wouldn't worry about these things. I'm not putting any laws on you, you understand? This is just where God took me to show me so I could tell you. That's all. I'm not making any laws here, all right? I don't believe in legalism. I'm just sharing something with you because the Lord might even bring you there. Even before the tribulation, He might bring you to places like this. But I can tell you when you get there, God will be there and He will be faithful. Because He doesn't like us to have any God before Him. And our insurances that we put there, we put them there to be our God, to be our Savior, just in case God doesn't save us. But I want to tell you something else. God is our protector when we have no way to protect ourselves. I'll give you a couple of instances. A few years ago, I prophesied that God was going to send a hurricane down, straight down Pensacola Beach and wipe out all the greedy merchants who brought in the perverted crowd every year. And the next year it happened. And a tornado was, we were watching it on the weather, you know, it was coming right straight at Pensacola. Not going the direction of the beach, it was coming straight at Pensacola, straight at us. And people in our little assembly was asking me, David, what are you going to do? I said, I'm not going to do anything. He says, I've got a big angel standing right out in my front yard. That thing is not coming here. Well, I was the one prophesied it was going to come and go down Pensacola Beach, you know. I said, it's not coming here. Well, I lived, probably about 20 minutes or 30 minutes from the bay, you know. And so it kept coming closer and closer. And actually, some of those people that I told them I wasn't going to do anything, I was just going to let my angel take care of my house. Have you ever noticed how many hurricanes have come through Pensacola area? You watched them? Well, Pensacola has lost a lot of big oak trees. And I got a bunch of them in my yard. I've never so much as lost a limb in any of those. I've had limbs from my neighbors fall in my yard, but they weren't any of mine. And we've had neighbors lost trees and fences and so on and so forth. We've never had any damage. Biggest thing I've had to do is go out there and rake up the leaves that have come. That's it. Well, it was coming right straight at us, and I said, that thing is not coming here. Well, but I was the one who prophesied it was going to go down Pensacola Beach. That thing came right straight at Pensacola Beach, right straight towards our house, and as soon as the outer wall of the hurricane hit Pensacola Beach, it stopped. It took a right turn and went right down the beach. The outer wall of the hurricane churning up that beach all the way down. Wiped out all those businesses, every last one of them. I actually went out there. The whole road was 6 feet under sand. Most of the businesses were the same way if they were still there. They were 6 feet under sand. It went through the front of them buildings, took all the stuff out the back of the buildings, and filled the buildings up with sand. Wiped them out. And you know what? That thing didn't come to my house. God is awesome. He will protect us. We walk by faith. Listen, we have the provision of not only Psalm 91, but Exodus chapter 12. And He said that if you eat that Passover lamb, He won't allow any plague to come near your house. And the word plague is the word blow. It has nothing to do with a pestilence. It's a blow. All of the judgments upon Egypt were called plagues. And, you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that our Passover has already been sacrificed. It's Jesus Christ. He's our Passover. What does that mean? That means the death angel passes over us and wipes out the Egyptians. Well, I believe in that. See, we have the protection of God. Psalm 91 has spoken to us, not just in the tribulation. It's spoken to us now. I've actually had people that attacked me. And you know what? God, if you don't defend yourself, God will be your defender. You defend yourself, you don't need Him. You know what Jesus said? Resist not him that's evil, turn the other cheek. Love your enemy, do good to them that despitefully use you. What did he do? He put you in a position of weakness where you couldn't defend yourself. He didn't make it permissible for us to defend ourselves. If you obey him, he will defend you. If you don't, you don't need him because you're taking care of it yourself. But if you want God to fight for you, don't fight yourself. Don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Wrestle with principalities and powers. This has happened to me many times. I remember one time I was preaching in a church, and I had stayed on there for a while because I was ministering there for a while. And there were a couple of ladies in this church that were stirring up trouble and gossiping and just, you know, just causing turmoil and hatred and problems, you know. And I kind of called them on the carpet politely and lightly rebuked them for what they were doing and asked them to please stop. And you know, these ladies got right up in my face. They laid it right back on me. And they rebuked me and they got angry with me. And the Lord said, just be quiet. So I sat there and I listened to it. And they walked off. And the Lord said, they're going to get sick. I didn't know. I just went on home. Didn't say a word. Actually, the pastor of that church walked in and caught the tail end of this and saw what was happening. He also saw I wasn't doing anything about it. Nothing. Well, I went home, and I wasn't home very long until that pastor called me. And he said, David, so-and-so and so-and-so, both of them just went to the hospital. I said, really? I said, the Lord told me they were going to get sick. What did they have? Well, I don't know yet, but we'll find out soon, you know. Well, come to find out, one of them had a kidney infection and the other one had a brain tumor. And they asked the pastor. They thought it was a little unusual that both of them would go to the hospital at the same time, you know. And it was them two together, you know, that were together in this misdeed. And they asked the pastor, what happened? He said, I'll tell you what happened. You rebuked an elder. And that's not permissible. Oh. Well, they called me up and asked my forgiveness and told me the situation and asked me to pray for them. And I said, well, of course, I'll pray for you. And I prayed for them and God healed them. But you know what? They had a profound respect after that for God's protection, especially for people who won't stick up for themselves.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.